I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Vancouver Canucks have kind of become the Washington Capitals of the Pacific Northwest. First, they took Jay Beagle. Then they signed Braden Holtby. Then they traded for Nate Schmidt. Three really good people and three really good hockey players that were once Caps are now Canucks. What's up, everyone, and welcome into the Capital Building Podcast with Rob Carlin. I am your host, Rob Carlin. We are part of Blue Wire Podcast, and today we've got someone who's covered the Canucks for decades, and Ian McIntyre, who works at Sportsnet up in Canada, and he just got the Nate Schmidt experience. As you will hear in the interview, he got to know him a little bit covering the Golden Knights' run to the Stanley Cup against the Caps in 2018, but he had his introductory press conference with Nate via Zoom, so it's not necessarily the same, but you get the same personality from Nate, and he's just blown away. Everyone here knows how great a guy Nate Schmidt is, how wonderful he is, how funny he is, how personable he is, and how happy he is to be an NHL player and now to be an impact NHL player and go from a leader from a Vegas team to what will be a leader on a very good young Canucks team. So he got that experience and loved it. He's interested by the Braden Holtby signing and what the goalie coach in Vancouver, who is very much in the ilk of Mitch Korn, what he can do to maybe revive the career of Braden Holtby. And then Jay Beagle, where does he fit in? Financially might be a tougher fit, and swallowing that money now for where Vancouver is compared to when they first signed Jay Beagle, when they were trying to establish themselves. But this is a really good team. This is a team that could be a player in the Western Conference. And so we'll get into all of that. Plus, we'll get Ian McIntyre's thoughts on whether or not an all-Canadian division will work in the NHL next year. And there was a report this week that there are at least a couple of NHL owners who have gone to Gary Bettman and said, we can't play unless the arenas are full, so let's shut down next season. I'll get Ian's thoughts on that and how much of a concern that truly is. So here is my guest on the Capital Building Podcast. It's Ian McIntyre of Sportsnet. Well, Ian, I've always said that we have a punter here for what's now the Washington football team named Tress Way. And if it's not Tress Way, then Nate Schmidt's the happiest guy on earth. But they are the two nicest athletes I've ever come across. And Nate obviously was just dealt to Vancouver. And I saw on your Twitter when you were listening to his press conference, which is obviously via Zoom, so you don't get to really know him, but you just seemed completely taken by him. And it's impossible not to. What's your first impression of Nate Schmidt, the guy, from your press conference?
Well, I knew a little bit of Nate Schmidt, the guy, from before the press conference, because I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to cover some of the Vegas Golden Knights' remarkable first-year run, both in the regular season and then that playoff run to the Stanley Cup final as a first-year team. And I know that the bar has been set high for Seattle, and expansion is a little more generous than what we had seen before. But no, I'm just going to say nobody's going to do what that Vegas team did in its first year. And Nate Schmidt was such a part of that team. And so I knew him a little bit from that. But what impressed me so much about this press conference he did is that he, and you know Nate far better than I do, but he was absolutely devastated by this trade. You know, he did not want to leave Vegas, did not think it was going to happen, was hurt by how it went down and what he felt was kind of a lack of communication from the Golden Knights to the moment he got the phone call. So the guy's heart is broken. And the players, again, you have to kind of try and see this from the players, plural, perspective in Vegas. That team, that first year team, had a relationship that was so special with the city, coming after the tragedy of the mass murder at the at that outdoor concert. Those players were so connected to residents there, and that relationship is an undeniable part of that team's foundation now. For such a young team, it feels like their roots go deep. And they don't. It's only a couple of years, but they're very meaningful roots. And so Nate Schmidt was such a part of that. And his heart was broken by this trade. He didn't want to leave Vegas, as I said. And yet here he was less than 24 hours later, and he's able to laugh at himself. He's self-deprecating. He's got funny comments about some of the things he was asked. And especially what came across is just how thoughtful and engaging he is. You know, his first three answers took about 5 minutes. And I know that, I don't know how he's going to be in Vancouver. I think he's going to be a very good Canuck because he is a good player. And this is a great get for Vancouver. But he's already got the media on his side because it's been so long since we've seen somebody who's this engaging and this human. I guess that's the best way to describe him. That's a compliment. I mean that. Nate Schmidt is a very human guy, and the Canucks are lucky to have him. And well, we in the media who are going to be talking to these guys, we're lucky to have
him. You're going to love him. And it's funny because when he was here with the Caps, he was obviously a 6'7", more of a 7 here, really trying to find his way into the lineup. So now you're getting a much more matured and a leader that's grown on the ice. But even back then, one of my favorite moments, we had him live on a post-game show, and there had been a whole mishap with shaving their heads, and things got away from them. And when he showed up, he was like almost completely bald. And we asked him in the moment right after a game, and he was just so funny. He was like, yep, I started, and I went, uh-oh, abort. And he, you know, like right in the throes of a game, he was able to just, like you said, be human, answer the question, have a little fun with it. I hope you guys get back to the rinks and practices to be around him, because he is, like I said, one of the most gregarious and engaging guys, and you will love him on a day-to-day basis. And again, you're getting a so much more matured leader and a really good hockey player. He's turned into at least a top four, if not a top pair defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, he's was a 22-minute guy for one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And you know, Shea Theodore is one of the rising stars. I guess he's already a star, and he's kind of mid-career. And Shea Theodore has kind of eclipsed Nate Schmidt this past season in hierarchy on the Vegas defense, but Schmidt still played more minutes at playoff time, and he is a big upgrade for Vancouver, and they need it because they had a slight downgrade in goal, and I'm sure we're going to talk about Braden Holtby coming to Vancouver as well, Capitals West it seems, and they have a big hole up front with Tyler Toffoli leaving. But the big accomplishment this offseason for Vancouver has been to upgrade their top four. And Nate Schmidt, what they love about him is that he's got this complete game. You know, he skates incredibly well, but he was used on a shutdown pair in Vegas. Although he didn't necessarily do the heavy lifting defensively, he often had a more defensive partner. But he's accustomed to playing against the other team's best players, and yet he has clearly an offensive side of his game as well. He can shoot the puck. He can play on the power play. The Canucks have Quinn Hughes, so they don't need Nate Schmidt for the first unit, but I'm sure we'll see him on the second unit. He's just a guy who checks so many boxes. And then on top of that, what he does as a player, we've got this personality that we've been talking about, and we've got his leadership and his commitment to his team, the level of buy-in. You know, I made the point, in some respects, it was hard to see Nate Schmidt go through what he went through to come to the Canucks. You could see the pain that he was dealing with, having to leave Vegas. But that's also a great sign, because anybody who cares that much about his community and his team and his teammates means there's a chance he could care that much again about his new city and his new team. And he certainly has term left on his contract. So I think there's a pretty good chance that that relationship, I'm not sure that anything will around the NHL as a team will match that relationship that Vegas had in that first year with their city. But I think that people here are going to love him. I hope that he loves Vancouver, and he certainly should like playing on this team because it's got a big upside.
Just the thought of him and Quinn Hughes getting the puck out of the defensive zone and starting breakouts. I mean, the speed, the skating, the puck handling of those two guys, I don't know that they'll be paired together, although the Canucks don't have a lot of right-handed defensemen. But, man, the skating and the offensive ability from those two guys should be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, Nate Schmidt is a replacement for Chris Tanev, who is another of the free agents who left, went to Calgary. Everyone from Vancouver went to Calgary. People from Washington seem to be ending up in Vancouver. It's crazy how it works. But Nate Schmidt and Chris Tanev was a great shutdown defenseman, a kind of a defensive defenseman, and a terrific partner for Quinn Hughes. So, you know, it's easy to see Nate Schmidt kind of just taking that spot literally beside Quinn Hughes. But those guys are, as you say, Rob, they're such great skaters and puck movers. You could see them being on different pairings. And, you know, maybe Quinn Hughes plays with Tyler Myers. Maybe Nate Schmidt plays with Alex Edler. But in any case, he was a 22-minute defenseman in Vegas. He's going to be that in Vancouver. And he's going to be a huge part of whatever they do next season.
We've talked about Braden Holtby and just timing, how timing is everything. And unfortunately for him, the timing wasn't right for him to have, you know, a career worst season over, you know, ever since he became a Vezina winning and Stanley Cup winning goaltender. So we thought a couple of years ago he's going to sign a $9 or $10 million, 5 or 6 year deal. Instead, he goes to Vancouver, which is only surprising because of the fact that they have Thatcher Demko, and you've got this young goalie that he can mentor, which really would have been the same situation here with the Caps with Ilya Samsonov. You lose Jacob Markstrom. What's your thoughts on Braden Holtby and what you think he may have left in the tank as not that they need him to be, but as an everyday starting goalie?
Well, the Canucks feel that he has a lot left in the tank. I mean, he's not old. What is Braden? Is he 30 or 31?
Yeah.
I should know that before we do these conversations. But and the Canucks also have a goaltending coach, a goaltending guru in Ian Clark, who's kind of a disciple of Mitch Korn and who worked with Holtby in Washington. And Braden himself feels like he can get his performance back to the level that it was. He said this whole, in his press conference after he signed with Vancouver, he said this whole past season, he had kind of knew that he was leaving. It was hard for him on a number of levels, and he's attributing some of that emotional and mental uncertainty to his performance. I can say from a Canucks standpoint, when it became clear very early into the first day of free agency that they were likely not going to have Jacob Markstrom back, their top priority at that point became to find a replacement for him. And they were elated to get Braden Holtby, even after what clearly was a poor season by his standards. They were elated to have him come in as a guy who's won a Stanley Cup, as a guy who, like Nate Schmidt, is universally, it seems, well-regarded by teammates and his organization. And they feel he's going to be a great mentor and partner for Thatcher Demko. Demko is a terrific young prospect for Vancouver, but this past season was only his first in the National Hockey League. And although he's not young by age, he's young as an NHL goalie at age 24. And one of the first things that Braden Holtby did after he signed with Vancouver is he asked for the phone number for Thatcher Demko because he wanted to reach out to him, tell him how much he's, you know, we presume looking forward to this partnership and working together. And you can imagine what that would mean to somebody like a 24-year-old goalie who's just seen the starter leave, seen another marquee name come in, and yet is going to be told that, you know, they're going to work together. And it remains to be seen exactly how the workload is going to be shared. But it sure looks like a 1A, 1B kind of situation where Braden Holtby is the starter, yes, but he's not a 60-game starter. He's not probably not a 55, maybe not a 50-game starter. Both guys are going to play a lot. It is only a two-year deal for Braden Holtby. So that's basically the window now that Thatcher Demko has to prove that he can be a number one goalie in the NHL. And maybe he's ready to prove that this season, but there was no way to count on that. And with what's likely going to be a compressed schedule, you need two goalies anyways. The Canucks are really happy that they have Holtby and Demko. It's still initially probably a slight downgrade on having Jacob Markstrom, who was one of the best goalies in the NHL this past season, certainly top 5 to 7 guys in the league, which Holtby was not. But especially if Holtby can get his form back a little bit, doesn't have to be Vezina trophy form, but if he's back to sort of career average or close to it, this is going to be a very good tandem for the Canucks.
And he's been there and done that on the biggest stage. So, you know, if Vancouver gets to that point, he will not be, the lights won't shine too bright. Hopefully Ian Clark helps him, because clearly without Mitch Korn, he was not the same goalie. And hopefully that combination gets his game, like you said, maybe not back to Vezina, but back to Braden Holtby.
Yeah, and I'm not smart enough to tell you the nuances between goalie coaches, but I know that Clark does have a lot of beliefs that are compatible to what Korn believes and taught. And I know that both sides, both the Canucks and Holtby, are excited about this relationship and how it might help both sides as well. I mean, if Braden Holtby does turn back the clock and shows again to be an average or better NHL starter, and that for him, that's not a high bar. Like, to be the 15th best goalie in the league, that's not a high bar, because for most of his career, he was well above that. But if he can get back to that, he's probably pricing himself out of Vancouver in 2 years. And there is this expansion draft with Seattle, so who knows if he even does the 2 years here. But it's a chance for him, because he's young enough, to kind of reset and relaunch and have a lot of great years still in this league. And hopefully it's the same thing with Thatcher Demko. Hopefully this is a launching point for him towards being an NHL starter. But between the two, these are good options for Vancouver.
Even though sports had a break, your business did not. So you have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com, the number one job site in the world, because Indeed gets you the best people fast. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time. There are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Football is back in swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, championship futures all day, every day. Head to Bet Online today and take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So Holtby won't be gregarious like Nate Schmidt, but you'll get good, solid answers from him. He'll always be available, which is always nice. Jay Beagle, on the other hand, fairly gregarious. Well, I mean, one of the all-time greats, his story of how he got there, the fact that he's won at every level, the fact that he's even been here this long is just a remarkable story. But where does he – is he still valued in Vancouver? We were all so happy that he got his payday with the Canucks. Where does he now fit in? And is his skill set, especially on the PK, is it still valued to what they need?
It is still valued. The question with Jay, and he is a great guy, the question with Jay is, does his role justify the value of his contract? Because it was a big payday that Vancouver gave him. And things have evolved quickly here with the Canucks. If you think about when the team signed Jay Beagle, Elias Pettersson had not yet played a game in the NHL. Came in Beagle's first year and became Rookie of the Year. This past season, Quinn Hughes was Rookie of the Year runner-up. The team has evolved so much in those 2 years. But from a Canucks perspective, they're happy with what they have gotten from Jay Beagle because he's delivered what they hope. You have to, in these cases, the best you can, you have to try to set aside the salary. It's all a make-believe world anyways, right? It's this alternate universe of professional sports. So the Canucks wanted experience. They wanted some mentorship for the young players. They wanted a guy who could kill penalties. And they wanted a leader. And they got all of those things from Jay Beagle. Now, in hindsight, if you could get that for 1 or 2 years instead of 4 years at $3 million, well, that would have been ideal. But the Canucks at that point, they weren't exactly an attractive landing spot for players, especially for someone like Jay, who had just won a Stanley Cup, had a lot of teams after him. So basically, the Canucks had to beat all the offers that were out there. And I know that Jay also wanted to come back. You know, Calgary guy wanted to come back to the West, play for a Canadian team, and he's getting that. Now, that's all preamble to your question of where does he fit? Well, right now, he is still a regular part of certainly the fourth line. Sometimes the fourth line plays more than the third line. It depends how you want to look at the labels, but he's a very important part of their penalty killing. He takes a lot of faceoffs for them. Hopefully, from the Canucks' perspective, they're leading a lot more games than they used to. Beagle will be an important part of that. And there's also a reality here with a guy who's on the fourth line and is making $3 million a year with the financial crisis that the NHL is in. That's not a contract that you can really move anyways. If it was the final year of a deal, you could probably move Jay Beagle maybe with some retained salary to a team that needs a niche player and is trying to win a Stanley Cup. But the Canucks feel like they have a chance to win a Stanley Cup in the next few years with the players they've got. So Beagle is still an important part of the group, has been an important part of the group since he got here. Just from the leadership standpoint, is still an important part of their bottom six.
Yeah, he reminds me of when the Nats signed Jason Worth. We knew the money was too much, but they needed to validate that they were an organization that people wanted to go play for. And that's kind of what the Canucks did, it feels like, with Beagle. And now they've built up around. I know you've got a dentist appointment. I've got two more questions for you before I let someone go work on your mouth.
This is the best part of my day, believe me.
Okay, two more questions for you. One, as we look at what the landscape could potentially be and when the season potentially start, there is sort of this rumor of an all-Canadian division, which would obviously deal with, you know, getting in and out of the two countries and travel. Do you think that's something that's viable that could happen next season?
Yeah, I think it's more than a rumor, and that's not to say I think it's likely, but it has been discussed, and it's really a border issue. Right now, the Canada-US border remains closed, as it has been since March, for non-essential travel. And as much as we love hockey, and hey, it's Canada and the NHL, but it's still not essential. So anyone who comes across the border has to quarantine for 2 weeks. And it was a bit of an issue in the summer with the Stanley Cup tournament. That's why the tournament ended up in Alberta. rather than British Columbia for the Western hub, because health officials there were willing to bend a little more with some of the guidelines. But basically, as long as the border is closed, cross-border play between NHL teams is a non-starter. And it doesn't work the other way, because if a Canadian team goes into the U.S., then clearly their players have to quarantine when they come back. So I think the idea of an all-Canadian division, and especially to start the season, because, you know, if, who's to say the conditions in April or May are the same as they are in January or February? But certainly at the start, it actually makes a lot of sense to have the Canadian teams playing each other. I mean, thankfully now there's seven of them, so it's not just like four teams playing each other all the time. With seven teams, you have enough of a mix scheduling-wise that people are going to stay interested. But these are some of the biggest rivalries that the clubs have. When Vancouver plays the Montreal Canadiens, or especially when the Canadiens visit here, when the Maple Leafs visit here, the Alberta teams have always been a rivalry, because everything between Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton is a rivalry. These are games, they're going to be games of great interest. And it's almost like, I suppose if you were playing the same two teams and just rotating over again, over and over, people would get tired of it. But people will not get tired of seeing all the Canadian teams, whether it be for 2 months, maybe it is for a regular season. If it's a shortened regular season, we'll have to wait and see. But I think it's, I think it's a strong proposal, and there's a kind of a certain truth at play here. With as long as the border is closed, the NHL can't operate as normal. And so this I think is a really good option for them. We'll see if that happens. I think people in Canada will be pretty happy if this is how it turns out for the first couple of months of the season.
I couldn't imagine the nightly shows on Sportsnet or TSN or whatever be 8 minutes of highlights from each game. I mean, the fans would not be able to get enough of the highlights of these all Canadian games. Last question for you.
I want to say as well, I mean, Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev are both in Calgary. Josh Leivel, former Canucks in Calgary. Calgary even took the third string goalie, Louis Domingue. I don't think he's going to be playing for the Flames. But, that rivalry is going to be even higher now. So maybe the Canucks will be seeing Jacob Markstrom every five or six games as well, which will be something.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you'd say normally that would be the circle, the game on the calendar, but it would be like every Tuesday. So yes, it wouldn't, yes. Wouldn't even have to.
Game of the week.
Exactly. Last thing for you, and this came out, I don't even know if you saw it yesterday. I'm sure you did, but I guess there was an ESPN story yesterday that apparently a couple of owners have gone to Gary Bettman and said it might not be financially feasible to play games next year in an empty or near empty arena. And should they just punt the season, which I don't think the NHL could possibly afford to not play it. As much as I love the NHL and I have fed my family on the NHL for a long time, it's still a niche sport in the States. And I don't think it can afford to not be there for a full year. Is there any concern that gains any steam, or is that just a couple of owners saying, I can't take on that much losses?
Well, I two things. It's always a concern. And the NHL, more than any other league, as you know, is a gate-driven league. But the Florida Panthers have managed to survive without fans all these years. So Arizona Coyotes, there's a lot of empty seats. No, and that's kind of gratuitous cruelty on my part. But
I'm all for it, though. It's fine.
Yeah. There are weaker markets in some U.S. cities. And you need to remember that running a playoff tournament where the players aren't getting their salaries, and there's some bonus money at stake, but there's only, in this case, there were 24 teams to start, but really within a couple of weeks, you're down to eight teams. That is a lot different than trying to run a regular season without fans. So because it's a gate-driven league, there has always been a lot of concern, even in Vancouver, where the building typically is full or close to full. there's a lot of concern about that loss of ticket revenue and what does it mean for the viability of the franchises. That said, I agree with you completely. The NHL can't just go dark when every other league is playing. There's also billions in television money at stake as well. And the fact of the matter is, of the 31 franchises, most are robust enough to play in some form. It's only a minority of the weakest franchises or markets where this could be such a debilitating issue that they can't function. They just can't play. So yes, it is a concern, but I think the NHL will find a way to get a season in. I don't know what that'll look like. It's probably going to be a shortened season. But I'm with you. I just don't see how the NHL can afford to sit out a full year and resume and think that everyone will just continue to follow them as they always have. And also, there's the other question as well. Like, if you could be guaranteed that for the 21-22 season, you're going to play 82 games and be fully open to the public, then maybe you can plan for that. But you can't plan for that. We don't know what the season beyond next or even 2 years from now is going to look at. So you have to take things year by year, do the best you can as a business to keep your fans engaged and keep your business going until the better days come. I don't think you can just shut down and hope for better days to come.
Ian McIntyre covers the Canucks for Sportsnet. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy Nate Schmidt if you can. Try and get a weekly deal done with him. You will not be disappointed. And open up, say odd, and best of luck at the dentist.
Well, thank you for both counts. I think Nate Schmidt is going to be a lot more enjoyable than did the dentist. But I've been flossing regularly, so I should be okay. Fingers crossed.
Good for you. I had a cavity last time. My daughters are still yelling at me. So yes.
They won't let you forget.
No, not at all. All right, Ian, thanks so much for your time. Take care.
All right. See you, Rob. Nice being on with you.
Well, the end there is ominous. I mean, the honest truth is no one knows. No one knows anything right now. And, you know, the NHL is smart. I think they're coming up with a number of contingency plans, and then they're just going to have to gather all the information when the time comes and come up with the best plan for the league. And they can't tell us today what that is, because information is changing too rapidly. So they have to figure all of that out. What is the best situation for the league, for the owners? Shutting down the league for years, there's just no way that's the best thing for the league. It might save owners some money, and I understand that from the owner's point of view, but for the good of the league and the good of the TV money moving forward, I don't think that makes any sense at all. This league will not survive in the U.S. if they continue to do this every decade or so, where the league either shuts down, misses a full year, misses half a year, for whatever reason, whether it's a lockout or a pandemic. Those are games that NHL fans will never get back, and those are potentially new fans that will lose more interest and be able to say, why do I even bother with the NHL? Every couple of years, there's some sort of labor dispute or something that cancels a season. So they'll have to figure that out. But thanks to Ian McIntyre again for his time. Look, we didn't even get to Pettersson. We didn't get to Brock Besser or Bo Horvat or any of that great young talent. He was up against it. We get to the dentist. So, you know, there's so much more to go into. But I really wanted to talk with Ian about specifically the three former Caps and really who will be at least two very important. Nate Schmidt, likely a second pair defenseman, but certainly top pair talent and will be viewed as a leader on the team. And then Braden Holtby, who you heard Ian say, is probably considered the 1A right now. The 1B is Thatcher Demko, and that may change. But right now, they view him as the starter. So very important. And then how Jay Beagle fits in and with the penalty kill, that's always going to be important. So I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ian McIntyre from Sportsnet to get the view of the Caps Pacific Northwest. We will talk again soon. Remember, like, subscribe, download, write a review, leave a rating, all the things necessary to help get the word out about the Capitol Building podcast with Rob Corlin, part of Blue Wire Podcast. Again, we will talk soon. Let's go, Caps.